I'm going to start without starting. I just want to, as I was standing down here a few minutes ago, and the band was leading us in worship, and didn't they lead us into the presence of the Lord this morning? Man. As they were singing, I just feel like I want to share this with somebody, and for whoever it is in the building, online, that you've been praying for your children. I want to read this to you, Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. I want to read it to you in the Good News translation of Scripture. It says this: stop your crying, wipe away your tears. All that you have done for your children will not go unrewarded. They will return from the enemy's land. There is hope for your future, and your children will come back home. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen. Amen. I just believe God is doing something. And I believe that Summit's a part of that. I believe High Octane Kids is a part of that. I believe Grace Point is a part of that. But I believe more than anything, the prayers of the parents and the grandparents in this room are what changes the lives of people. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what I learned from my parents. And I'm grateful for what I learned from my church. And I believe that that it was the hand of God that protected me in certain moments of my life to guide me and direct me, which is what I wanted to share with you this morning. God has a process that He is taking every one of us through. And it's our job to cooperate with Him. Bubba was on a tandem bicycle with his cousin Eugene. And Eugene was in the front, and they're going up a hill, and they struggle and struggle. They finally get to the top of the hill, and Eugene says, "Whoo, that was a tough hill. I don't know how we made it." And Bubba said, "Yeah, if I hadn't been holding on to those brakes as hard as I would, we'd have never made it. We might have slid right back down that hill." I think some of us are doing that exact same thing with God. God's like, "I got it. I'm taking you. The top of the hill's coming. Just stay with me." And we're like holding on the brakes as hard as we can. And we're not cooperating with the plan that He has for us. I just want to talk to you a few minutes this morning on three simple words: trust the process. Just trust the process. Our lives are not a series of random events. God is taking you somewhere. God didn't forget about you in the moment that you're in right now. God didn't walk away from you in that moment. I want to define this word process. It's a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. It's very dedicated steps, actions that get you the product you want. Imagine an assembly line of cars. It starts out and it's just the frame of a car, just nothing but steel. And then they, as it goes down the assembly line, they add some tires and they add some seats and they add a steering wheel and they add the doors and the motor and the wiring and all that goes along with this. And the last guy on the assembly line is filling it full of gas. And somebody drives that car away from there. Now, it started on the other end of that factory as a hunk of metal, but it ended up being a car that somebody could drive around for many years to come. There was a process that happened, a series of actions, a series of steps that achieved a particular end that got them where they wanted to go. Life isn't just a series of random events. You're not just accidentally where you are today. Now, some of us chose to take the wrong path, right? And God is working to get us back. You might be on that path of getting back to the main path. Maybe you were off on your own, doing it your own way, and you didn't follow the process in the beginning, but God is getting you back. Or maybe you've been in the process all along, and yet there have been bad things happening in your life. Things that you throw up your hands and go, "I don't know. How could this happen to me? I've been walking with God for all this time. Lord, how could you let this happen to me?" Again, three little words: trust the process. God is taking us somewhere. God has a vision for your life and my life. But here's the problem. God has a vision, but sometimes we quit halfway. Sometimes we get halfway across this ocean of life and we jump out of the boat. And we think we can do it on our own. You see, God has a vision, but visions get blurry. Visions in the middle of that vision, in the middle of that plan, difficulties come along. Now, the Bible gives us a cycle of a vision. You've heard me talk about this for years. The cycle of a vision is found throughout Scripture. The cycle of a vision is this. There's three steps. Number one is the birth of a vision, where God births a vision in you and he just shows you what your family can be, or he shows you what you can accomplish, or he shows you what your life is going to look like. And we get all excited. God gives a vision to a church, and we get all excited about it, and everybody's on board. Woohoo, God is showing up. God's doing real stuff now. And then the second step of the vision happens. That's the death of the vision. The birth says, we're flying high, we're doing great, we're going to accomplish awesome stuff for God. And then the vision nosedives. Trouble hits, we get discouraged, the vision is a little bit blurry, life starts to happen, and the vision completely dies. But then the third step of the vision shows up, and it's the divine fulfillment of the vision. It's God showing up and miraculously fulfilling his vision for us. Now, why would God choose to do it this way? God will never share the glory or the credit with anybody else. God will never let you or me get credit for what he is doing. The Bible says that he's a jealous God, and you can be angry at him if you want to, but he's still God. All right? It just simply means there is nobody like him. That he is not going to share the credit. So if we went from the birth of the vision straight to the fulfillment of the vision, we would back up and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, look what I did. I am special. All these other people ought to just do what I'm doing. That's not the way it works, though. In the death of the vision, we get humbled. Trouble hits us that we did not expect to hit us. Problems come our way that we did not expect to come. We start to struggle with it. This is throughout Scripture. Abraham and Sarah, God gave them a promise when God said in Genesis 12 that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. Now, he's 75 years old, and God says, you're going to be the father of a great nation. He didn't have any kids yet. And some time starts to go by. Abraham is 75. His wife, Sarah, is 65. And time starts to go by. As a matter of fact, the new completely wears off. They start to not trust it, and you can look it up later. They get this thing in a big mess, and then 25 years later, the promised child, Isaac, is born, and out of Isaac comes the nation that God had promised Abraham. Now look, 25 years is a long time to hold on to a vision. God knew what his promise was, and God always fulfills his promise. Again, throughout Scripture, the birth of the vision, the death of the vision, the divine fulfillment of the vision, right? Think of Jesus. Jesus is walking through the streets of Jerusalem and other places. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's just working miracle after miracle. People start to follow him. I mean, thousands of people show up wherever he is just to see what he's doing and to listen to him teach. The birth of the vision, the Messiah is here. Look what's happening. And in no time flat, it all changed, and everybody started to go, I don't know if that's him. I don't know if that's him. The Bible teaches it, shows it to us very plainly. He starts coming. He comes into Jerusalem, and then he is crucified. The people that were in charge crucified Jesus. All those people who had been healed, who had been raised from the dead, who had seen miracles, that vision that they had, all of a sudden is dead. They never seen anybody come back on their own. It's completely dead. And 3 days later, some people go to pay homage at the tomb of Jesus, and he's not there. And there's some angels that say, hey, He ain't here anymore. If they were from Texas, that's what they would have said. He ain't here. He has risen. He's alive. Remember, birth of the vision, everybody's excited. Death of the vision, he's crucified. The divine fulfillment of the vision, he is resurrected. Now, God has this plan in mind for your life and mine, but we got to hang on to the vision. We got to stick with the promises. We got to stay in the process. We got to trust the process that God is taking us through. Now, Moses, at one point, stands before Pharaoh 10 different times before the people of Israel were set free. The Israelites were set free. He just kept going back and kept going back, and God sent more plagues and more plagues. And over a period of months, this took place. Think about the life of Moses before that happened. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years, just out there taking care of the sheep before God showed up in this burning bush and made Moses the leader of the Israelites. 40 years go by. He trusting the process. King David was anointed to be king. Scholars say between 10 and 15 years old, but he was 30 years old before he became the king. There's the vision, the birth of the vision, the death of the vision, the divine fulfillment of the vision. We have to trust the process. Corey Ten Boom once said this: when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. You trust the one who's driving the train. Satan loves to discourage us. He loves to create problems. And sometimes when those problems come our way, we step back just a little bit. And God is saying, don't step back, step closer to me. Because when you draw close to me, I'm going to draw close to you. That's what the Bible says. And Satan just wants you to take one step back. Because it's a little bit colder and a little bit darker and a little more despair and a little more grim if you take a step away. But God is asking us to take a step forward to him. Now watch this. If you've ever been in a weight loss cycle, all right, I've lost 300 pounds, all right, 20 pounds at a time, and I lose it and I gain it back, all right? I've done that 15 times, all right? So I know what the treadmill looks like, but he and I have an adversarial relationship, all right? Here's what I know. If I get on the treadmill and I do what I'm supposed to do, if I trust the process, all right, and stay away from, you know, roses and Popeyes and places like that, if I trust the process, eventually I'll drop the 20, all right? But it doesn't happen in one day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days. It's 60 days, 90 days, 120. It's a slow process. I got to trust the process. Saving money is the same way. If I'm going to save money, I got to start where I am and save what I can, right? If I'm making $100 a week, I'm not going to be able to save $100 a week, but I might be able to save $5 a week, $10 a week, $20. And then down the road, I look at my bank account and go, oh, look at this. I trusted the process that it was going to grow. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, sometimes we don't believe that we will get to where God told us we were going to be. Philippians 1:6 says this: and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. It says when God promises to start something, or when God starts something, he promises to finish that thing. He, whatever it is that's going on in your life and my life, all right, he's there and he's involved. Look at it again. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. You see, he's the one who does the beginning, and he's the one who does the finishing. Now, what happens between the word began and finished? That's called life. Stuff happens. There are highs and lows and wins and losses and good times and bad times. It's up to us to stick it out, to endure, to persevere, to just don't give up. You don't have to be a superstar. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just hang in there. James 1:2 tells us what it looks like to go through this process. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Look at somebody and just say, hard times are fun. Now we're going to all repent for lying. Hard times are not fun. I don't like them. You don't like them. Here's what he said. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. He didn't say, when troubles come your way, it's going to bring you joy. He said, it's an opportunity for joy. Now, that's somebody who says, I understand there is light at the end of this tunnel. I understand that I can trust the conductor of the train. I understand that I'm not on this journey alone. For you know, verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, here's the beautiful thing. God is taking you somewhere. God is not just allowing random stuff to happen in your life. He's taking you somewhere. He's doing something. He's taking you to a place that is good. Now what's he doing in our lives? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. All of us are looking with unveiled faces at the glory of the Lord as if we are looking in a mirror. So think about this. You got nothing on your face. You're looking in a mirror, right? Watch what happens, though. We are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, here's the picture he's giving us. When we look into the face of God, when we look at what he is doing, we are transformed. When we are focused on him, our lives are transformed. Remember, God's taking you somewhere. And if we focus on him, this word transformed is very important in this scripture. It very simply means to be changed after being with a person. So he's saying we're going to be transformed, not just transformed out there on our own. We're going to be transformed as we are with God, that we are walking in step with him. Our lives are transformed. Now, Satan wants you to get off the boat just a minute. Just don't go to church and don't read your Bible and don't confess your sins to anybody and don't do anything that's going to draw you closer to God. Just take a breather is what Satan will say. He's not going to say, hey, God let you down and skip out on him. Just take a breather. You need to be away. Now, when we are with him, with God, we are changed. We are transformed as we walk through this process with him. I love this because it's very simple. I don't have to know the way as long as I know the one who is the way. I don't have to figure it all out. I just got to stay with him. I've used this illustration before, but I remember when I was a little boy and my dad and I were fishing and it was after dark one night. We had one flashlight and we're walking through the woods and he walked in front of me and held the flashlight behind him so I could see where I was walking. He was walking into the dark. He wasn't scared of snakes or alligators or any stuff. And I was terrified. And he just held the flashlight right there so I could see every step. He's just going through the valley of the shadow of death in my eyes. And he's making sure that I can see where I'm going. Now, after I did that with him a few times, I started to realize there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm going to be okay. What happened? I was transformed. I started to realize that all this darkness is not something to be afraid of. I saw it a few minutes ago when it was daylight. There was no monsters hiding out here. It's just where we were. And I started to understand. Now watch, when you start to walk with God through those hard times, our lives are transformed. Something inside of you gets changed because you've been with him. Because you've trusted him, because he is the one that's shining light. If we trust him, we can trust the process. Which leads me to this. How do we trust the process? It's two simple steps. How do we trust the process? First of all, have faith in the maker of the process. Do we trust God? Do you trust him today? Do you trust him with your job? Do you trust him with your family? Do you trust him with your finances? Do you trust him with your health? Do you trust the maker of the process? Do you trust God? He's the creator of the universe. He knows stuff you don't know. He understands things that we don't get. So first of all, if I'm going to trust that I am going somewhere on purpose, there is a process that God is taking me somewhere, I got to trust the one who's leading me. I've got to put my faith in him. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you here. That is not always an easy thing to do. You ever had somebody look you in the eyes and say, just trust me? Nah. Not today. Do you trust me? Not really. I've seen some stuff that you did back there. I know you better than that, right? I forgave you, but I don't trust you today, all right? Okay, I got to have faith in God. God has never let you down. He's never left you alone. He's kept every promise he's ever made to you. He is taking us somewhere. So we start by trusting in God. Now, the Bible says his faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you don't have, listen, if you're not trusting God, the first place to look is, are you taking in God's word? Are you reading your Bible? Are you listening to your Bible? All right, I get it. You might say, I'm just not a fast reader. Listen, there's no excuse anymore. Just pull out your phone and it'll read it to you on the way to work, all right? So there is no excuse anymore. As a matter of fact, you can just look up videos of people sitting in their living room reading it to you, all right? I mean, this is easy. But I will never have faith in my maker if I don't receive God's word into my life. Make time for God's word. Here's the second thing, if we're going to trust the process, get involved in the process. Don't be holding the brakes on the back seat when God's trying to take you to the top. Read your Bible. Pray consistently. Spend time with people who will challenge you to grow spiritually. Evaluate your spiritual growth from time to time. Evaluate where you are and what's going on. We hear a lot around here. We talk a lot about taking our next step in Christ. Your next step and my next step are two different things. We're at two different places in our journey. You may be way farther down the road than I am on my journey. You may be way more mature in Christ than I am. So your next step is going to be different. There's a different set of circumstances surrounding your life right now than my life. So what is your next step? What is my next step? The Bible will show us if we will listen. All right? The next thing, what is the next thing that needs to happen in your life so that you can stay in this process and continue to grow along the way? He's developing you. He's taking you somewhere. The next spiritual step that God is asking you to take, what is it? What is the next thing that God is asking you to do? Is he asking you to join a small group? Is he asking you to come to CR? If you got stuff you can't get over, hurts and habits and hangups, this is a great next step. Is God asking you to attend Summit? Is God asking you to apologize for some bad behavior? Is God asking you to share your faith with a coworker? Is God asking you to become a better father? What's the next step? What is it that's going on in your life right now? God has a next step for you. It might be that it's going to be painful. You know how many billions of dollars have been made from promises that you can lose weight by sitting in your recliner? I always wonder, where's all that going? If I'm just sitting here, is it just oozing out? Am I going to have to clean the recliner later? What's going on? It's not going to come easy. There's a process I have to follow if I want to get to the place that I want to be. I have to follow the process. And it can be difficult. God, watch this. God never promised life was going to be easy. That's some weird fallacy and lie that we somehow believed about church and good people, right? The good people, all the good stuff happens to them. We get a little bit jealous. And then you really sit down and talk to them and you realize they've been through way more stuff than I've been through. They're fighting battles I never dreamed of fighting. But they understood that trouble was an opportunity for joy, and it leads me then, if I choose that joy, it leads me to have some endurance so that along the path, I can pick up some speed, and I can grow, and I can learn, and I can get it to where God wants me to be. I got to start, though. Amen. Now, 1 Peter, we're going to close with this. 1 Peter 1:13 says this. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that scripture. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. You know what he's saying? Get a plan together. What's your next step? What's God doing? Don't get out of the process. Get deeper into the process. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. He said, like, put all your hope in Jesus. Quit trying to figure everything out and just put all your faith and your hope in Jesus. So you must live as God's obedient children. Now, listen, if you want the blessings of God, you got to be in God's family. All right? You got to be following, walking in step with him. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. You know what the implication is? You know better now. God's taking you on a process. There's a journey happening. God's taking you somewhere. So I'm just going to really put you on the spot today. I'm not going to make you stand up and say something, but I am going to put you on the spot right where you're sitting. Whether you're sitting on your couch at home or riding down the road, whatever you're doing, I'm going to ask you to do this. What is your next step? What is the thing that's been hanging out back here in the back of your mind? You're like, you move it from this list to that list to that. You got the Monday through Sunday list. You're like, all right, I didn't do it Monday. I'm going to move it to Tuesday. That thing that you know you need to do but have been unwilling to do. Do you need to pick up the phone and call somebody? Do you need to open your Bible? First of all, you got to remember where it's at. That'd be a great next step. What is the next thing that God has for you? Now, remember this. It probably will be uncomfortable. If it's not uncomfortable, I would doubt very seriously God's leading you down that path. If there's not going to be a little bit of struggle in that, probably not God's path. God's taking you somewhere. He's developing you. Every now and then I go to the gym and there's always some guys, and we got a few of them around here. I'm not picking on you guys, but I am picking on you. All right, so here we go. There's always the guy that wants to work out the closest to the mirror. There's a lot of this, a lot of that. I'm the guy way over there on the treadmill, right? And I'm watching all y'all with your muscles and everything going on over there. There's a lot of flexing happening, right? Here's what I know. It's a long journey from over there to over there. A lot of pain happened. A lot of dedication. A lot of self-control happened between there and there. Now, I'd like to have all the muscle. I'd love to. I'd love to step up here next Sunday and what you go, whoa, what happened to him? He is jacked. I don't know what happened. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to go through that pain. But when it comes to the plan that God has for me, I hope I'm willing to endure any pain and any hardship and any struggle. Because he's taking me somewhere. See, my testimony is very simple. It's the story of the struggle. It's the story of perseverance. God showed up. But I joined the process. That's what a testimony is. I joined the process. I want to get better. I don't want to be the guy I was. Somebody said to me years ago, if you listen to your sermons from 5 years ago and you're still happy with them, you're not growing. I said, man, I ain't even happy with last Sunday. What are you talking about? I must be really growing. So it's a process. If I look back at my life and I go, I haven't changed at all. I'm the same person. Then I'm not in the process. I'm not trusting the process. I'm going to be different every day, different every day, different every day. Grace is going to grow in my life. Accomplishment will grow in my life. God will use me. I got to stay in the process, though. Amen. Amen. All right, stand up with me if you would. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm putting you on the spot. I don't want you to, you cannot leave that room until you know what your next step is. We're going to stand at the door and, no, we're not. I would encourage you to do this, though. Decide what your next step is. My microphone is killing me today. We're going to fix this. All right. I would encourage you, decide today what your next step is. What is it that will get you, the next step that will move you in the direction that God has you going? What's the next step? And then find somebody that you love and trust, somebody who is further along in their journey with the Lord than you are. Or maybe they're not even further along. Maybe they're just walking along with you, right? Find somebody and share that with them so that somebody can pray for you. Somebody can encourage you. Somebody can walk this journey with you. We all need it. We all need to walk this journey with somebody else. If I try to do this on my own, I'm never going to get where God wants me to go. I'm never going to be what God wants me to be. I have to have other people in my life. You have to have it. God created us this way. He created us to need one another. He created us to have community with one another, to just very simply do life together. So what's the next step? And then who are you going to tell it to? What's the next step? And I'm not, you don't have to say, I'm going to go from being a spiritual baby to a spiritual giant this week. That's not going to happen. All right? It's a process. Remember, one simple little next step. It might be as simple as, I'm just going to wake up 5 minutes early and I'm going to read as much scripture as I can read for 5 minutes. Here's where some of us get caught. We say, I'm going to read one chapter in the Bible every day, and we don't realize some of those chapters are 3 verses long and some of them are 150 verses long. And then you're like, I don't have time. I got to go to work. I won't be able to do it today. Sorry, Lord. Listen, just set yourself some time. The Bible wasn't written with the numbers in it anyway, all right? We put the numbers later just so we could all figure out what we're talking about. Go to the scripture and find it, right? So just start somewhere and just read it. I'm going to say this. I've said it a million times. If you've never read the Bible, start with Matthew and then go to Mark, Luke, and John, and then start over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first 4 books of the New Testament, and it'll tell you what Jesus was all about. That's where you start. That's where you start. So your next step, simple step, just a simple step. What is God doing? Maybe there's somebody in this room right now that says, my next step is I just need to surrender my life to Christ. I've never given my heart to God. Maybe you're sitting at home this morning, you say that. I've just never given my heart to God. And today's your day. It doesn't have to be some big flamboyant thing. It's very simple. I have to admit that I've sinned. I got to believe in Jesus, and I got to confess Him as Lord of my life. That's it. I start where I am, and God will meet me there. So we're going to pray. Father, we thank You so much today that You never leave us alone in this process, Lord. The only way we can get away from You is to run, and even then, You follow us, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody in the room this morning that says, or at home this morning that says, I don't know Christ, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray today, Lord, that You would help them, that You'd receive them. Lord, as they pray this simple prayer in their own words, that they would admit that they've sinned, they would believe that You are who You said You are, and that they would just confess You as Lord of their life and start this journey with You and let You accomplish whatever it is You want to accomplish. We thank You, Lord, for loving us right where we are and having a plan for us. And then, Lord, for everybody who says, I'm ready to take a next step, I'm ready to move forward just one step in my relationship with God. Lord, I pray that as we have made those decisions, Lord, You would help us to endure, that You would help us to walk with self-control, that we're putting the plan together, we're getting our minds prepared for action, and Lord, we want to do it with self-control, self-discipline. We ask for Your help, and we thank You for what's coming. Lord, we know that as we take this next step, You'll guide us into the step after that and the step after that. All we have to know is what the next one is. And God, I pray that You would just help us, Lord, to realize that You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life, that we're just moving closer to You. That's what this journey is about. And God, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. All right. What's your next step? What's your next step? What is it? What is it that God has for you to do today or tomorrow? You don't have a next step that starts in 2022, all right? That's not a next step. It's got to be immediate. What is God leading you to do right now? And don't say, well, I'm going to get all this stuff. You know how here's what we do. I'm going to change my eating habits. So we go buy 25 pounds of apples. We're not buying any cookies this week. That could be a next step. But look, don't wait till you get the apples together. Just start. Just start with the next step that God has for you. What is the thing that God wants you to do right now? Take that step. You might fail. You probably will. I do. We all do. That's why we need God's grace. You mess it up. You back up. You start again. What is your next step? What is God taking you to do? All right. Father, as we go in just a minute, we just pray your blessings on every person that has been worshiping with us this morning. We ask you, God, to just guide us and direct us and help us to take this next step in trusting you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.